Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In a few days, it'll be 5 years since the Boxing Day tsunami hit Indonesia, and in particular the province of Aceh. As you may have heard in previous shows, I visited Aceh this year to see how the massive recovery operation had gone. While I was there, I discovered the island of Pulau Wai, to find a hidden tourism mecca, which is flourishing post-tsunami and the 30-year civil war the disaster helped to end. I began by speaking to Ben Stokes, who's recently started bringing tourists to the island for diving.
My name is Ben Stokes, and I'm the co-founder of Dive Safari Asia.
Tell me about Dive Safari Asia. I mean, what's your reason for being?
The whole idea behind Dive Safari Asia is, I suppose, pioneering dive adventures, allowing people to experience destinations and marine environments that they wouldn't necessarily be able to experience without someone like us being involved.
Such as?
One of our headline destinations at the moment is Aceh in North Sumatra, which has recently become more accessible, let's say, to divers through ourselves and through other visa is an example of how it's become more accessible and flights and things like that. But we're one of the first tour operators to actually be able to offer access in this region.
And what makes someone want to come to dive in a particularly inaccessible area, do you think? What sort of people do you attract?
Of course, I think it's the diving environment. It has to be of a high standard, and that's initially going to attract people. But it's also the idea that they may be experiencing something which perhaps less people have done before them. The chance to dive on a dive site where you're not surrounded by people, where essentially you're experiencing it on your own, is what we believe is very attractive to dive travellers.
Tell me about what it is diving-wise that makes Pulau Wai so special.
It's a pristine diving environment, so it's a very healthy and vibrant coral reef. Pulau Wai is essentially a volcanic island, so it's quite rugged terrain, and beneath the surface, the topography kind of is an example of the volcanic activity that's gone on there. Typical dive sites, you get fields of Gorgonian fans, these big sea fans that are very typical of Pulau Wai. Lots of hard corals and plenty of fish life. The Indo-Pacific marine life, it's very rich in diversity. And there's many species found in this part of Indonesia. It's essentially part of the Coral Triangle, which is a hotspot of marine biodiversity. Essentially, there's a lot of different species that have evolved over time. And this is typical within Indonesia, but particularly for Aceh and Pulau Wai.
I've heard this is one of the places where it's said that marine life basically began. Is that true?
The Coral Triangle is where evolution in the sea, for scientists believe that's where marine life first started to evolve. So essentially it's also been uninterrupted by the ice age. So yeah, species have been allowed to evolve for generations and generations, and this is where you get lots of different marine critters, as we call them, the weird and wonderful marine life that is quite predominant in Pulau Wai.
Before the 2005 tsunami hit, Pulau Wai had a small but steady tourism industry. And though the island and dive sites were largely unaffected by the tsunami, tourism stopped overnight.
I'm sure it put people off visiting the region after the tsunami. Yeah, I mean, for sure that's going to happen. People saw the images on the TV of what Banda Aceh was basically left like after the tsunami. So for sure that did. Also, before that, there was a civil war, which was made it very difficult for people to get there. You could actually go there, but you were required to have a police escort once you arrived into Banda Aceh, and then they would take you to Sabang, which is the island of Pulau Wai, essentially, and this part was not considered to be in civil war. So the town of Banda Aceh and the region of Aceh was considered to be under civil war, but Sabang, the island, was considered safe for tourists to visit. So it hasn't been very accessible in terms of yes, the civil war, and of course the tsunami. It's going to make it's certainly going to put people off wanting to go and visit there.
Aceh is known as one of the more fundamental or conservative Muslim parts of Indonesia. Has that been your experience? How does that impact on you as a tourist or Westerners, you know, who are swimming and things like that?
We have to be respectful to Sharia law, but essentially the feeling is that it doesn't necessarily apply to Western people visiting Aceh. So in terms of the local community and their beliefs and traditions, then they hold that as important, obviously. So we need to be respectful of that, and we need to be conscious when we're travelling through Aceh and when we're on the island of Pulawayo, that things like being sensitive about how we dress, about how you behave, and just having a little bit of understanding and a little bit of respect for what they believe in. But essentially, as far as the Achenese are concerned, Sharia law is not applicable to Western tourists.
Ben's partner in crime is Sarah Kemsley. The 2 meters dive instructors in Thailand and travelled around Asia for years together before setting up Dive Safari Asia last year.
To start off with, I started travelling myself, so that helps, I suppose, finding different destinations that I enjoy. And then, first off, telling my friends and trying to get my friends to come out to visit me and show them what I love about Southeast Asia. And then from that follows on to finding other people to come and join us and enjoy the surroundings that we have here.
How long have you been living out here for?
On and off for the last 6.5-7 years. I have been back to the UK a couple of times, but majority of the time I've spent working, teaching diving throughout Southeast Asia, travelling an awful lot in this area as well.
What do your family think?
My family are okay. My sister lives now in Australia. My father and my brother live in England. I think they think that it's a good environment to live in. Most of them have come to visit me out here, so they get a good holiday out of me living out here as well. Obviously, my friends, I miss my friends quite a lot and my family, but the world is getting a smaller place, so it's easier to travel around.
I know, for example, that every time I go diving, I have to text my mum afterwards and say that I made it okay. Your mother obviously doesn't share the same concerns?
Not too much, no. Maybe a little bit with the travelling around. If, like recently, we've had this earthquake in Sumatra. Actually, Sumatra is a very big country, so we didn't feel any of the earthquake at all where we were staying. But obviously, then you get the frantic text messaging, emailing, how are you, but I definitely don't have to text every time I do a dive, no.
It might be an expensive exercise if you did. What is it you like about the diving, say, for example, in Pulawayo?
Pulawayo is a unique place because it's immense amount of marine life, lots of interesting things to find and see. But the main reason why I enjoy diving there is because there's not many people there yet. To find yourself under the water in a small group of people, noticing that you've only got those people looking at the same fish is what's nice for me. You can go to many different places through Southeast Asia and all out throughout the world where you'll get into the water and there's 100 people already there trying to see that one thing. So Pulawayo is still, you know, unique in that way. So,
what do you look for in an ideal holiday destination, just personally? And I suppose that then leads on to where you're looking to send people. I mean, what is it that really, you know, spins your wheels?
I suppose it's all about the local environment, so the local people, definitely the local foods. For me personally, obviously the diving aspect. To find somewhere that may be a little bit more unique, trying to get off the beaten track. Although it sounds a bit cliche now, you can always get these guidebooks that tell you everywhere to go. It's always nice to find, follow your own paths, and finding the local people, as I said, is always the way forward for me.
Because there's not much of a guidebook, is there, for Pulawayo, for example. I looked in the Lonely Planet in Indonesia, and there's about one page, I think. is that a good thing for you in your books?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, this year, actually, Lonely Planet have made a new book on Aceh as it's now opened to more tourism. So there will be a little bit more information on the area. But as I said, as soon as you have this guidebook, people tend to stick to that guidebook. And I try, myself personally and for our tour guests, to try and take them off that track, maybe, and see what else they can find and finding the different places.
What's the hardest thing about running a business in Asia?
I think the hardest thing about running a business is probably keeping our paperwork together. Also, internet access still, even though we have full internet access when we're on pull away. When we're moving from destination to destination, it's sometimes hard to get in contact with people over the phone, emailing, in that way, and also trying to get people to understand that we are out here, we are on the pulse, we do know where we're bringing people out to. A lot of dive operators, especially from the UK, they're based sitting in their offices in the UK, and they're sending people out to destinations, and maybe they've been there once, twice, but they're not actually there at that moment, so they don't know exactly what's going on.
Damien Christie with that report. Coming up after the break, we talk to an atheist on a bus.